So anyway, so if you talk about challenging God, there was an individual. We'll see what happened to him in the end. Okay, so Titus said like this. Okay, what did Titus do, first of all? So what did Titus do? Tafa Zaina Biyado, he grabbed a whore in his hands, Venichnas Beskotche Kadashim, he took her into the Holy of Holies. Vitsiya Sefer Torah, he spread out a Sefer Torah on the floor, V'avar Alav Avera. And he did his business on top of the Sefer Torah in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Right? Not such a great guy. Natal Saif, he took out his sword, V'gidur Es HaParochas. In the base of Mikdash, there was a curtain, a double-sided curtain, that separated between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So he took out his sword and he stabbed it into the Parochas. V'nas Anes, and Anes happened, V'hayadam Mivatzveitz. V'yoytze. Blood splurted out of the Parochas. The Kosovar Hargis Atmos. So Titus thought, hey, I killed God. Okay. So it says, one second. So not of us Parochas, he took the Parochas, but also come in Gargutni, and he made it into like a sack. Ve'evi kokeim shebemikdash ve'nicham behem boshivim besfinam. He took them, he took all the golden and silver vessels of the base of Mikdash, he put them into the sack, and he placed them on a boat to sail back to Rome to have a triumphant march through Rome upon his victory over Yerushalayim, right? You know, Titus minted coins that said Judea Capta on it. You've obviously seen these coins. You guys have seen, right? So, and any of you guys ever actually seen the Arch of Titus?
Yeah. The live one, or the picture?
The live one. You've been to Rome, yeah. Right? So you see the Arch of Titus; it's still there. You can still see the picture of the Romans bringing in the menorah and the shulchan into the. Okay, so now what happened? Later, Kishach will be Eroi. One second. The waves of the sea started to try to sink his boat. Right? Huge waves. So listen to what Titus says next. Amar, he said, Kimiduma ani shelohayim shel elu ein gvuraso ela b'mayim. It appears to me that God's power is only through water. Why? Ba paroi tavu b'mayim. Paro came. How did God kill Paro and all his people? With water. But Sisera came, told him with Mayim. He killed him with water. Avu I made Elijah to put him with Mayim. He wants to kill me also with water. So what'd he say?
Why would he ever think there would be smart enough to take a boat?
One second. Now listen to what Titus says next. Im Giberhu, God, if you're man enough, Yalel Yabosha V'yasi Imi Mochama. Come on to dry land and do war with me. All right, step up, God. Yatsa Baskov Yamra. Bas came out and said, Rosha ben Rosha ben Menoishal Esav HaRosha. Rosha, the son of HaRosha, the great-great-grandson of Esav HaRosha. Bir Yakala Yeshli Boilami. I have a very, very small creature in my world. V'yitushma. And it's called a gnat.
Oh, it was one in his head, I remember this.
Right? Olo liyaboshev tasi imo mochama. You think you're so tough? Go on to dry land and do war with it. So Titus landed on dry land. A yitush, a gnat, flew up his nose and picked away at his brain for 7 years. Doesn't sound all that pleasant. Right? So anyways, no, I'm not going to challenge God. Doesn't come out good in the end. Alright. So anyways, so things that we come across with a lot of times in Agarata or in different points of Midrashim and things is we come across a lot of things called contradictions. Right? The Midrash doesn't always do what it's supposed to, or it doesn't always say the same thing in two places, and we have to come and we have to answer these things up. Right? So it's a very interesting, we're trying to talk about Rosh Hashanah a little bit before Rosh Hashanah. We have to think two more shiurim before Yom Kippur and Sukkot, so we'll talk about Yom Kippur and then Sukkot. Also, then, it's a very interesting Gemara. If you notice throughout all the Rosh Hashanah davening, we don't say Hallel. Right? So the Gemara on Amud Beis in Rosh Hashanah says, the reason why we don't say Hala, why don't we say Hala?
Because you're supposed to be in Yerov HaKadosh Baruch, and you can't do adequate Shiro with Yerov.
Shiro with Yerov. I mean, something along those lines. Actually, the Lashon of the Gemara is, it says, Sifrei Chayim v'Sifrei Meisim Psuchim Lefanecha. The Sfarim of Chayim, right? The books of life and death are open in front of you. V'atem Oimrim Shira, and you're going to sing?
According to that logic, because HaKadosh Baruch was always judging our actions. Like, theoretically, if we do something bad enough, we could become Chayiv Karis, and then that would be all over. So, according to that logic...
Yeah, but it's not a Yom HaDin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not necessarily Omid B'din, right? On you. But the question is, I would assume, so what does that mean that Rosh Hashanah is? Rosh Hashanah is the day that you should be fearful. Correct? That it's a day of trepidation. But there's another very interesting Medrash. Okay? It's a Medrash that's brought down in... What's it called? Okay, so Yaakov Shemoni is also a Gemara in Talmud Yerushalmi in Rosh Hashanah. Gemara says like this: Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yosheya, right? They both say, "Umi gai gadol hashel elokim kroivim elav." Who is this great nation that God is close to them? Eze uma kumazu. God says, "Who is like this nation, the Jewish people?" Sheyadas, right? Of yoshel elokav. They know the greatness of their God. B'naik shabolam. Normally in the world, adam yodei sheyesh lo din. Person knows that he has judgment. Yeah, any of you guys ever sat in court for anything?
Yeah.
What, parking ticket maybe?
Traffic ticket.
Same thing, right? Okay? You get all dressed up nicely, usually, right? You make yourself look like an upstanding. Even you have in a regular court case, you have these guys that have never worn a suit before in their life. They go out, they buy a fancy suit, they get all dressed up, right? They gotta look good. Okay? But normally, right? You stand there in trepidation in front of the judge, especially if the judge is, if you're contemplating much more than a $50 ticket, yeah, or a $100 ticket, $150 ticket, right? If the judge is contemplating a $50,000 fine, or let's say a jail sentence, yeah, not even a life sentence, even a year sentence. I mean, nobody here wants to become Bubba's lover boy, right? So, even if the judge is contemplating any amount of jail time, one of the scariest things my father ever told me. So my father, unfortunately, it happens a lot. So my father has a friend who's in jail. Money laundering, things like that, So this person's mother passed away. So I asked my father, I said, this guy's an avil. I said, how's he going to find a minyan to daven for? So my father says, unfortunately, he has no problem finding a minyan in the morning.
Oh, he's federal?
It was a white collar prison, I guess. So unfortunately he had no problem finding a minyan in the morning. But normally if a person stands before a judge, he gets a little scared. He garbs himself in black. He doesn't pay attention to his physical needs. He's very, very scared. You don't know what's gonna happen. Very scared. Can you eat?
No.
Terrified. Ava Yisrael Einam King. The Jews are not like this, the Medrash says. Loivish Levanim, right? We get all dressed up nicely in our white clothing. Umisatfin Levanim. And we wear talesim that are white. Umigalchim Sarim, we get all dressed up. Umichatchim Shmanim. Uichim Vishayim Smechim Rosh Hashanah. We eat, drink, and we're merry on Rosh Hashanah. We have a nice fatty meal, right? Everybody knows, dip the apple in the honey, make a bracha, right? You guys have heard that before?
Of course.
Yeah? Right? Yeah, nice, challah and honey, everything in honey, honey cake, honey drink, apple, I don't know. We do everything. But wait a second. We just said before we can't sing Shira. You can't sit for chayim, you sit for mason, psuchim lefanecha, v'atam oimrim Shira. But on the other hand, we say that look, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mishabeach klai shul, you can eat. You can sit down after shul, right? Everybody, runs out after shul as quickly as possible. Because, right, God knows you were there for a long time. Right? I got through all 850 pages of Rosh Hashanah davening, even though half of them were English.
425,
right? And we go and we sit down and we have a meal. The rest of the day, the ema in you, the fear that's there, goes away. So which one is it? Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? The fee, why we do this? The fee should yadam HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Aslam Nisim. We know that God takes care of us. Right? We've got no problem. God takes care of us. Motziim dinim lekaschos. We know that God's going to put, you know, when the Yitzhar is not looking, he's going to sprinkle a little bit more on the mitzvah side. Weigh things out, right? You all know the famous story that, you know, a guy went and he did a chesed for a person whose wagon was in the mud, and he came up to Shemayim, because I'm saying I heard this story like a billion times when I was a kid. And they brought all the guys' mitzvahs, and they brought the horses, and the wagon, and then they schlepped the mud up there, put it on the scale, right, and it outweighed everything. You've heard this story before? Yeah? No. Sounds kind of familiar. Yeah. Right? No, you never heard the story before? But you got the gist of it, right? Yeah. God works things out for us. So which one is it? Is Rosh Hashanah a happy day or a sad day?
Both.
Can't How's it both?
Because I guess it's kind of like Tisha B'Av, like Tisha B'Av is like a sad day, but it will be a happy day. So like Tisha B'Av is also kind of both.
Tisha B'Av is a whole different reason why it's going to become a happy day.
But it's like the same idea, like if that's able to do both, then why not Rosh Hashanah?
Oh, so I'll explain to you why Tisha B'Av is a happy day, also will become a happy day, and you'll come to understand why Rosh Hashanah is a little bit different. Tisha B'Av is a sad day now because all we see is destruction. There's a very, very interesting Medrash which we might go through a little bit of a different time, you know, during this year. But the Medrash says like this, okay? I'm being Mekatzer a lot right now because it's a very, very intricate Medrash. It says the day that the base of Medrash was destroyed, Mashiach was born. That's what the Medrash says.
That's a lot
the
of
very minus. Same day. That's why, by the way, Mashiach's name is Menachem. His name is Menachem, right? Because he comes to give Nechama.
Again?
Okay? His name is Menachem. I'm saying his name is Menachem. Okay, so the very same day that the base of Israel was destroyed, Mashiach is born. Now, why is that? And it's no coincidence. Because the whole purpose of destruction, like the whole purpose that we go through, all the pain and the anguish and the destruction that we go through with the base of Israel is only to bring us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to remind us where we're supposed to be. And all the pains and anguishes that we go through in life, whether they be personal or whether they be as a tzibur, as a populace, is all has a rhyme and a reason to it. That's why also we say in Az Yashir Moshe, then Moshe will sing. Now why we say it in a future tense? It should be right, I think Sham Shar Moshe, right? Then right there Moshe sang. Because the whole point is that the Midrashim explained that Moshe sang, he didn't sing only on the Geula that happened at that moment. I think I told you this once, maybe. But he sang also on the Golos that happened in Mitzrayim. Because yeah, it's very easy to see when redemption happens, the chesed that God does for you in the redemption. But the real concept of what a yid is to sing on the actual pains that you went through to realize how God was never trying to pain you. He actually was doing things for your betterment. It was all for your good. That's why Tisha B'Av becomes the answer. Because when Mashiach comes, this I definitely told you guys, is that when Mashiach comes, Elyonah is going to come first. He's going to answer for us all the different halachic shailas that we don't know. You know that every time the Gemara says teku, right, we say that, oh, Eliyahu is going to come and answer it. So the Medrash actually says that Eliyahu is not only going to answer the halachic shailas, but he's going to tell every single individual why you had to go through every single trial and tribulation that you went through in life. He's going to reveal all the sfeikas. Every single suffix that you think you have will be revealed for you. So then Tisha B'Av then becomes a yomtiv. Because we start to understand that all the pain and all the strain and all the, you know, things that we went through during the Golos really wasn't a punishment. It was actually HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing it for our own good. But that's a whole separate reason. Okay, that's something totally different. Okay, but Rosh Hashanah, you know how Chazal, they express the feeling that a person is supposed to have in Rosh Hashanah. They have a very interesting statement for you. You know what the statement is? It's called Gilu Bira'ada. Any of you guys know Hebrew? What does that mean?
It means like dancing in fear.
It means rejoice in your fear. Now, I don't know about any of you guys, right? But I'm sure if like you were standing somewhere in a dark room and all of a sudden one of your buddies came up to you and like screamed in your ear, right? You wouldn't be like, oh, that's so funny. You'd bug out. You don't rejoice in trembling. How does one rejoice in trembling? How do you rejoice in trembling, right? Gilu Barada, rejoice in your trembling. Ra'ada comes from Ra'ada Sa'aretz, it's an earthquake. Right? You get shooken up. That's what we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does in El time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu always shakes the world up. To show, hey, guess what? There's a king involved. I'm in charge over here. So which one is it? It's a Kaddish Baruch Hu. He wants us to be happy. He wants us to be sad. So we're supposed to be happy in our trembling. How does one do that? How is one happy in his trembling? Anybody have a potential answer over here? What do you think?
Me?
You ever happy by being scared?
Yeah.
How?
Yom Kippur.
Yom Kippur, you're happy by being scared?
Yeah.
See, Yom Kippur is a funny thing. We'll speak about this when we talk about Yom Kippur. But Yom Kippur, the Gemara actually says, was the greatest Yom Tov ever to be given to Klal Yisrael. It's a Yom Tov. Rosh Hashanah is not called a Yom Tov.
Supposed to be a greater Simcha than Shabbos or the greater Simcha.
I mean, you also weren't supposed to sit in Shul day either.
What?
Yom Kippur, you weren't supposed to sit in Shul day either. You're supposed to rejoice.
No, you are. You're supposed to fast. But we'll talk about
no
that.
No fasting, but like the entire day you weren't supposed to be.
They were by the Beis Hamikdash. They were waiting for the Kohen Gadol to come out.
It's very different than this nowadays.
The same davening. We just didn't have the Seder of davening. The same thing happened. Klal Yisrael bowed. They davened. Everything happened in a very similar way. We didn't have the text. Okay, the text was made afterwards. What?
They don't like Seder Shemona Esrei, do they?
They said it in their own private fashion. You have to understand, we look at davening in a whole different view of the way that we're supposed to look at it. Davening is not necessarily, oh man, it's this textbook thing that I have to read through, and otherwise I didn't do anything. Davening is actually if Donald Trump came over to you and said, ask for anything right now, and I'll give it to you. You know what you'd probably do? You probably couldn't think of anything on the moment, right?
Probably ask for money.
You'd probably ask for money, right? Right. Most people, if they were asked, what would you want at this second, you draw a blank. Right? You put them on the spot for a second, you're like, I couldn't think. Davening is there because you have the chance to speak to the king three times a day. There's an outline so that you shouldn't forget anything. But you are definitely supposed to ad lib. You're not supposed to just follow the book. That's there as a structure so that you shouldn't forget anything. It goes through what Chazal thought were your basic daily needs. Right? Yeah, you're going for a big test in college, right? So have kavana when you say atachonin l'adam das, guess where your brains come from? I'm full testimony for that. I can tell you, I was once sitting in an advanced physics class, and I'll tell you how much I didn't care what happened in that class. I didn't even buy the textbook. That's how much I didn't care. Okay? The class consisted of midterm and a final, and the midterm I didn't do well on because I didn't care. Heck, I didn't even buy the textbook. But I knew that if I didn't do well in the class, my parents would probably shech me. And so I got to the final. The final was 6 questions long. That's it. I had 6 questions for the whole final.
Long, like,
okay.
Physics.
I needed one of these long, long questions. I needed to get at least a 97 on this test to do well in the class. Okay? I knew one question. The other ones I had no clue. I remember, I'm not telling any person that you should bank on this one. I just remember at that moment, I put my pen down, and I closed my eyes, and I said a prayer to them. I said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm not doing this for myself. I don't care. So I'm doing this for my parents, and I just want to make them happy. I got an A- in class. Okay, that's all I can tell you guys. Okay, so the whole point is that davening is you supposed to ad lib. You're supposed to talk to God. You have a problem davening the regular davening? So put on your tefillin in the morning and talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu like you would talk to a normal human being. Just talk to him. There's no problem. That's how people used to daven. Right? Like we said last week, right? Last week, Chizkiyo HaMelech turns to the wall and he just talks to God. You're right, there was no set way to daven. This is only because we don't know any better. We wouldn't know what to say. We wouldn't know how to daven. Right? So the way I give the example of what it is on Rosh Hashanah that we're supposed to be feeling, so I always give the example of a major league pitcher. What do I mean? Imagine what a major league pitcher feels like when he pitches in the 7th game of the World Series. Okay, so the 7th game of the World Series is obviously the most, right, you're a Yankee fan over here, right? Obviously it's the most important game of baseball that year, at least. And, I don't know, couple billion people are watching every single pitch that comes out of that glove, and you know the people in the press box are being like, well, that pitch was a little bit outside. It's always easy for these like fat schlubs who call themselves sports announcers to comment on what these athletes are doing. Yeah, that was a bad mistake. You know, John Madden, like, yeah, you know, that was really horrible football, right? I mean, come on! You couldn't get out there in the field and last for a second. You're going to comment on this guy's life? But it's funny that that's the way we do things. Yeah, man, Kobe really blew that game. Like, I mean, come on!
Well, he did.
I probably did, whatever. I'm not saying that sports athletes aren't overpaid, right, for what they do. I mean, the guy just puts a ball in a hoop. I mean, come on. It's not like he does open heart surgery or something.
They get overpaid, too.
I think the stakes are a little bit higher, you know? But obviously, when a pitcher pitches in the seventh game of the World Series, so on the one hand, you have these dual emotions that are going through. On the one hand, he's terrified. Because everything is riding on his shoulders. Every single pitch is going to be accounted for. They're not going to miss one. And every single action that he does makes a difference in this game. And this is the most important game of the year. And everybody's watching him. So obviously his heart's probably like, right, jumping out of his skin. But on the other hand, he's a player. And every single person in those stands and every single player and every other team in Major League Baseball wants to be him at that moment. So on the other hand, it's an elating feeling that my actions actually make the difference. So it's the same thing on Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, we come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And yet, it's a high-stakes poker game. Right? World Series of Poker. I don't know if any of you guys watch those things.
Of course.
Right? You know, there's always the guy with the sunglasses and the guy with the big cowboy hat. You know. What?
Greg Raymer.
Right? You know, the guy, and they always have like the Italian guy who's got his shirt open like this. You know, Vito, this my name. And, you know, at the end of the day, I don't know how much these things go for. $16 million in the pot, right? And, you know, the flop's out. Everything's done, right? And you're just waiting for everybody to turn over their cards. And you're bugging. Because there's $16 million in that game going on there. But on the other hand, you made it. You made it to the top. And it's your call that makes the difference. The same thing on Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, it's that high-stakes poker game. Life and death are on the line. The entire world is riding on our shoulders. Ours meaning Klal Yisrael's. The entire world is judged based on Klal Yisrael, on how we do. But we're a player in the game. No other nation in the world's actions matter. Only ours. So that's the Gilu Bera'oda. Rejoice in your trembling. Why? Rejoice by the fact that your actions make a difference. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you that tzchus. That you can come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you can... You're a player. You're on that team. And granted, the stakes are high. Can't sing Shira. We gotta take the game seriously. We can't sit and rejoice until the... Right? Fat lady sings. Usually, I don't know, baseball games, the fat lady sings at the beginning. But whatever. Yeah. But whatever.
It's for the last one.
For the last one, right? Till the fireworks go off. But we're a player in the game. Now a person might think to himself and say, okay, but how can I survive? I mean, God doesn't just look at me and say, oh, he looks like a nice guy. God actually, you know, pulls out that endoscope and he sticks it up your whatever, and he examines your insides out and through, and he knows what you're all about. Correct? Now, Rosh Hashanah, I'm about to read you guys an unbelievable Medrash. I'm reading the Medrash because the Medrash is a little bit more elaborate than the Gemara. There's also Gemara in Rosh Hashanah on Daf Tes Vavim Beis. But I'll read you the Medrash because the Medrash is a lot more graphic. And, you know, we have to think to ourselves, you know, if Rosh Hashanah is called Yom HaDin, okay, we're players in this game. But what are we judged on? How are we judged on Rosh Hashanah? What are we judged based on?
What we did the previous year,
right? That's what you would think, right? Yeah, what we did the previous year? You're all in consensus over here.
Our attitudes and what's inside.
I'm asking you, what are we being judged on? Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaDin. It's a day of judgment.
On how committed we are to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our mindset. Because our mindset's what causes how we act.
But when? Based on what?
Your actions in the past year.
Your actions in the past year.
Everything.
Your potential going forward.
Well, let me ask you a question. Okay, one second. Your potential for going forward, how do we...
No, but I'm saying your potential... The potential that you have versus your progress toward that potential, the momentum that you are carrying forward.
Okay. Well, let me ask you guys a question. If we're being judged based on what we did the previous year, correct? Now, Rosh Hashanah is the day of judgment. God passes judgment based on, right, whether, you know, he knows whether you've been naughty, he knows whether you've been night, he knows whether you're staying up at night waiting for him to come down the chimney. But, you know, 9 days later, there's a day called Yom Kippur, where God forgives you for all the avarice that you did tshuva for. Now, don't you think it's a little bit of a waste of time for God to pass judgment on something that he's going to forgive 9 days later? And down. Right? Don't you think it's a little bit waste of time, right? Why would God judge you based on something that's going to inevitably change 9 days later? If I was God, right, what would I do? I'd make Yom Kippur first, and basically, see what you do. You wipe away some of the things, so fine, those things are wiped away, now we'll judge you on what's left over. Right, to make a Seder Shmei Yom Kippur first, then have Rosh Hashanah Yom Adin. Correct? Yom Kippur, that wipes away, right, wipes away the same, but, you know, it seems a little bit of a waste of time, you know, like your parents wasted time, like, you know, I made you a chocolate sundae. I don't like chocolate anymore, Mom. It's a waste. Right? And God doesn't waste action. Yeah? So I'll tell you something, guys. You don't get judged based on your mitzvahs or your avers the previous year. That's not what you're judged on Rosh Hashanah. Because you're right, that would be a waste of time for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do. And if you look, very interestingly enough, you look at the entire Rosh Hashanah davening, we never ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for slicha and mechila the entire time. We don't ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for forgiveness.
Before we ask for teshuva.
And we don't.
No.
Nope. Nope. We don't. We don't ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The entire Yom Kippur davening, that's all about. I would bang our chest all day long, right? You come out with a big black and blue mark, you know.
That's a hard story.
I guess I get pretty intense about these things. So, you know, so these guys that work out that like try to bring their like, oh yeah, I can take that one. But you know, we don't mention it at all during Rosh Hashanah davening. It's very interesting, right? This is the Talmud Yerushalmi. Shochanin and Chavron de Rabbanan Boy. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu Roeh Asanol. He asked the question. Chanin asked the question. God doesn't know what's going to happen. He knows what's going to happen. Why does he got? We all know the famous thing that, you know, Rishayim get judged in Rosh Hashanah for one way, the Tzaddikim get judged in Rosh Hashanah for the other way, and the Benanim, they're pending. Right? Pending judgment. Listen to this one. Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu don es ha'adam ela b'shah shuhu oimed bo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu only judges you based on the moment that you are standing on. The moment that you are standing in, that's what you're judged on. Right? My taima altiri kisham alokim alakol anar b'asher hu sham. Why? Because Gemara brings a raya, a proof from Yishmael. Right? Yishmael was in Avraham Avinu's house. He got kicked out. Okay, Hagar brings him out into the desert. Yishmael spikes a beaver, gets thrown out. She says, "That's it, the kid's dead." So Yishmael cries out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By the way, that's why his name is Yishmael, because God listens to him. We spoke about that also. Yishmael. Okay? And of course, there's a big, big, big commotion that goes on in Shemayim. Why? Because God said, "Okay, angels, go create for this kid an oasis." And the angel said, "Are you crazy, God?" He says, "This kid's descendants are going to kill your children. Why would you save him?" So God says the famous statement that you only judge a person by Asher Hu Sham, like he is right now at this moment. At this moment, what is he? He's a tzaddik. He's crying out to me. Go save him. On Rosh Hashanah, we have nothing to do. Our judgment has nothing to do with what we did in the past. Hayom haras olam hayom yamid b'mishpat. That's what we say on Rosh Hashanah davening. Today you stand in judgment. Today, based on what you are today. Rosh Hashanah, you are only judged based on Rosh Hashanah itself. That's why we do all these interesting things like dip the apple in the honey and all these other things. Well, because Siman and Milsi, the things that we do on Rosh Hashanah make a difference. Because Rosh Hashanah, you're not faking God out, but you're showing God what you want. Rosh Hashanah, you're based and you're judged on your desires. Where I want to be in life. Because Rosh Hashanah is the day that we're Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We make HaKadosh Baruch Hu our king. What does that mean? And how much do you want to be part of that plan? So yeah, you could have been rotten all year round, but it doesn't make a difference on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah only makes a difference about what you do on Rosh Hashanah itself. That's what Gemara tells us. So all these things about your averus, your mitzvahs, that waits till Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, we see how much you do tshuva, how much you wipe out everything that you had before. Rosh Hashanah, the judgment is totally different. Rosh Hashanah, the judgment is, what are you standing like now, and what do you want? Where do you want to be? Do you want to be part of the plan? Do you not want to be part of the plan? Now God understands that, okay, fine, I want to be part of the plan, but it takes time. It takes time to change things. Change takes time. It doesn't happen instantaneously. Thank you. Bothered me too.
Yeah.
Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands all that. The question is, where am I standing now? So it's a tremendously heartening thing. It can give a person a tremendous amount of strength, because it doesn't make a difference. Whether you did know, you didn't know, what you did wrong, what you did right, nobody cares on Rosh Hashanah. It matters only what you do on Rosh Hashanah itself. That's how you're judged. Where are you wanting to judge? Now you can say, okay, fine, I can fake God out. No, you can't. We talked about that in endoscope. You can tell. Trust me. He knows exactly what you want. But he can tell if you actually really want. And he understands your faults, and he knows your faults better than you do. I'll just tell you guys one more thing. Okay, just read you a very cool medrash. Because I was actually learning this morning, and I came across this. And I just thought it's very interesting to note. Because this year we have a very, very big source. I'll read you this medrash. So it says, Be'erev Shabbos Nivra Adam Rishon. When was Adam Rishon created? On Erev Shabbos. That's why Rosh Hashanah is the first day of Tishrei. Because the first day of Tishrei is when Adam Rishon was created. Because as we said before, Adam Rishon is the only person whose actions make a difference in the world. So therefore, that's why we're judged not based on the day that the world was created, but on the day that Adam was created. Shah Rishon, the first hour of the day of the sixth day, all of Machshava Kadosh Baruch Hu thought about Adam Rishon. Well, that's a different story, what that means. Shnia Nimlachim Malachi Asharis, the second hour God talked to the Malachi Asharis. How we know the famous Rashi in Chumash that says the reason why God did that is because he wanted to teach humility to the world. That even God will talk to the people that are lower than him, right, about doing things. Shlishis, Kines Afro, during the third hour God got together the dust of the ground to make Adam. Bervius Gavlu, right, and during the fourth hour God formed Adam Rishon. Chamishis Asu Golem, he made it into a form. Right? Shishis Rakmai Shviyas Navar by Neshama. Right? During the sixth hour God like made the fine details. And in the seventh hour, God blew the neshama into Adam Rishon. Shmines Hamidu Araglav. Eighth hour, Adam got up on his feet. Tishis Tzivo. And during the ninth hour, it's a long day. During the ninth hour, God commanded Adam not to eat from the Eitz Hadas. Asiris Chota. And in the tenth hour, Adam sinned. Rapid day. Chas Asrei Nidan. During the 11th hour, Adam was judged. Shteim Asrei Nigoresh. During the 12th hour, he was kicked out of Gan Eden. And Ba Liten Loi Afufsin. Now God wanted to give Adam a death sentence. Nichnes HaShabbos, right? Pinuhu Mishamin. Shabbos came in, right? Because this was all Erev Shabbos. Shabbos came in, and Shabbos saved Adam Rishon. Ba Yom HaShabbos Nasal Saneger. Shabbos came in and came to Adam, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as Adam Rishon's defense attorney. V'amr l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and said in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rebbein Ha'olamim, Master of the World, B'sheish Shmei HaMais Eloi Nenash Adam Ba'olam, the six previous days of the world, Adam wasn't punished. Uvi Ata Maschil, and on me? That's when you're going to start punishing Adam Rishon? Zuhi Kedushasi, V'zuhi Menuchasi, that's my Kedusha. That's the Menucha that happens on Shabbos.
It's a little selfish, like, as a defense.
Well, you have to understand what Shabbos is. And maybe we'll talk about a few Gemaras and talk about what Shabbos is, and then we can understand why Shabbos did this. Ubishvila Shabbos needs some Medina Shaganim. Because of Shabbos, Adam Rishon was saved from the din of Ganim. Came and Adam Kaycha Shal Shabbos, but Adam Lemer Himnun the Shabbos. When Adam Rishon saw what Shabbos did for him, right? He got my back, Shabbos. Right? So all the Marishan said a praise to Shabbos. That's why he said Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos. The Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos that we said that was written by all the Marishan. Amar Lois, so Shabbos said to all the Marishan, Liyata Oimehim, you're saying praise to me? Anivata Oimehim Lakash Baruch. Let us both say praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemar Toiv Lohoidis LaHashem. Right, in the middle of Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos, we say Toiv Lohoidis LaHashem. So why did I read this to you guys? Because the point is you have to understand, this year is just like it happened then, it's happening now. Rosh Hashanah leads straight into Shabbos. Shabbos is a tremendous, tremendous chus for Adam Rishon and for all Adam. Right? You guys are looking at it like, oh my God, 3 days straight, no shower, everybody's going to smell and this and that. And for us Israelis, it's a lot worse, trust me. We're not used to this 3-day Yantif thing. Right? But when Rosh Hashanah falls out and Shabbos comes right out afterwards, it's a tremendous thing because Shabbos comes and sticks up for Klal Yisrael. Just like it stuck up for Adam Rishon then. Because Shabbos represents ultimate connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why Shabbos is called Yom Menucha, not because God rested, because God doesn't get tired. You know what Menucha means? What word does Menucha come from?
Menachem.
Menachem is also there, but what word is... Why is Menachem called Menachem? Nechama comes from what? Well, what word?
Nach.
Nach. Nach means who?
Pleasant.
No. What does Nach mean? Nach in Gemara.
Itself.
Right? Like by Erev, you have Akira and Hanacha. To be Meniach. Hameniach has a Kad versus a Rabban.
Support?
No. Place. To right? Right? Yehei Munach Ad Sheyavo. Why? Because Nach means everything comes to its place. Everything has its place and everything is in the right sequence of events that it should happen in. That's what Menucha means. Menucha means everything comes to completion. Everything's in its right place. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked at the world, he saw everything was exactly the way it was. Okay, now comes Shabbos. Because everything's right where it was, everything's in completion, we're good to go, Shabbos comes in. Right? That's why Shabbos is called Yom Menucha. That's what Shabbos is all about. Everything's in the right relationship and the right proportion that it should be in. And that's why when Shabbos comes in right after Rosh Hashanah, it's a tremendous, tremendous chus of Klal Yisrael. So you shouldn't look at it in the wrong way and say, oh man, right? 2 days in Yotav and then Shabbos. It's hard enough 2 days in Yotav. It's hard enough Shabbos alone. I got to do both together. Trust me. Right? It's a good thing. All right, guys. And it's still going.